Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Durrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, Israel, Past, Present, and Future. Suffering a life-threatening injury is not necessarily embarrassing, but it is humiliating when you break through the lattice of your toilet and fall down a 40-foot shaft into feces and urine. This was the case with King Ahaziah, and the resulting infection was so bad that he sought help from a demon god instead of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God tapped Elijah to deliver a negative message that Ahaziah would die of his affliction. This wicked son of Ahab was unrepentant and subsequently experienced the same humiliation as his father when God torched two separate detachments of soldiers who had been sent to kill the prophet. When Elijah's time on earth came to an end, the Lord sent a chariot of fire to pick him up, and he became one of two people who never died, but went straight to heaven. This message is entitled, Playing with Fire. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide on September 10th, 2017. And I'm going to share a couple of scriptures with you here as we are right now seeing Florida being devastated as we are speaking here in California. And I'm going to address our congregation, Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide, next Sunday, in a very special message that God has laid upon my heart. But I want to share a couple of scriptures with you here this morning before I get into the message. And this is going to be on a sermon for next week. And the first scripture is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. And the first thing that I want to say to those of you that are watching today, or watching later this week, I do know that those in Florida cannot watch anymore because they lost electricity. The first thing we need to do is this. Learn. God is with us. If you are born again, you should not fear death. If you are born again, this is one thing we should not fear, and that is death of the body. This last week, I've been with my wife and I've been with Erica, and we talked to her, prayed with her. And I don't know if she's alive today or not, if she passed away during the night. But she's very close. There is not an ounce of fear in her. She said, I know where I'm going. I've seen the angels are showing up from time to time in a room. I know exactly where I'm going. I'm going home. I have no fear. She made a preparation. She's prepared to have her body cremated. She's not crying over that. She knows she's going to get a brand new body, a resurrected body. So let me read these scriptures to you right now. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where do I go? No. And the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not where you go, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you know me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him, and have seen him. When I was a young boy, about the age of 14, my grandmother, her body died, and she went to be with heaven. In the spring of that time, this is about 1954, we had basements in the houses, and the custom was that undertaker would come to the house, they would embalm the body, put it in a coffin, and put it in a basement, and keep it there for maybe a week before they did the funeral. The problem was, in a house, we only had one bathroom. It was not a shower, just the toilet and the sink. And it was in a basement. I was scared of demons. I was scared of darkness. And now my dead grandmother was laying in the basement. I said to myself, I can't go to the bathroom anymore. I tried to hold it up for about a day, and then I realized that I had to go to the bathroom. And that I was saved, but 30 to 40 years old. So I didn't know much about the Bible, but I was told, take two candles, candle holders. Walk down to the basement. Go further in. Go into the room where she's laying. Go in that room. Put the candles on top of the coffin. Light them. And wait. Which I did. I came down. I mean, I had fear. My skin was crawling. I just went in. I was scared to the... Scared, I'd never been so scared. And I got this, put one candlestick up here, one on the coffin, got a match, lit it. And then suddenly, peace. I have never experienced such a peace. All demons were removed. It was the presence of heaven. And it was a presence that cannot be described in words. I don't have words for it. You could feel it. Every fiber of me could feel that. Serenity. It's an atmosphere. And I just stood there. And I just stood there and basked in it. It was like washing myself in something I didn't know what it was. And from that day on, all my fear disappeared. As long as he was there, she was there for 4 or 5 days. I would go down daily, put candles on, and that peace was there. I'm sharing that with you, because I believe that God gave an experience. Death of the body is not bad. When your body dies, you don't even feel it. It's like you drop your clothes on the floor. You walk out. And here it is. Peace. What is heaven? Heaven is no devil, no sin, demon free. You talk to somebody in Alaska, somebody up in northern Sweden, we have a lot of mosquitoes there. And they always say this, when the fall comes, and to get just a little bit below freezing, it's mosquito-free. And this is what it is, demon-free. So I just want to say this to you. As disasters happen, the first thing you should know is this. So if you die, not a problem. There are shuttles going on the hour, at the hour, that will take you to heaven. So let's not fear death. Then I want to take you to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter. I'm going to pick it up here in verse number 5. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Can you imagine 3 million people in the wilderness? And God said, I led you there for 40 years. Your clothes, your clothing are not waxing old upon you. I want you to think about that. When they left Egypt, they had garments. They lasted 40 years. Never worn out. And your shoe is not waxing old upon your foot. Can you imagine walking in the desert for 40 years and your shoes look like new after 40 years as it did when you started? Let me pull you together here. I want you to see the supernatural. You see, we are walking in the flesh all the time. God simply said this. He knew that they needed clothing. So he simply said, well, I'm not going to send in clothing. I'm just going to keep it going. I know you need shoes because you walk in the desert. I'm just going to keep that going. I will send in manna. I send in flesh. I give you water. But you're going to have your clothes for 40 years and your shoes. Jesus Christ is saved yesterday, today, and forever. And so we really need to recognize supernaturally God will take care of us. Now I'm the pastor of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church worldwide. We got congregation here, small but a powerful congregation. And we got hundreds, if not thousands of people in different places. And you watch us every week. And let me just say this to you. We had a prayer request here today for Sister Diane. Years ago, not years ago, 25 years ago or so, God gave me this in a church. We had a larger church then. I said, we're going to set up a benevolent fund. I said, this is a fund that I want you to give money into. We're not going to use it for the church. It's going to be for people in need. If you lose your job, if there's something happen, you have a need, we use the money for the benevolent fund. We'll help you out. After you recover, put the money back in benevolent fund. And that worked for a number of years until the church was destroyed. I would like to reset that up again. A benevolent fund, not just for us here in Sacramento, but for you in Sweden, Australia, Austria, Germany, wherever you are, where we simply would start saving money. You send extra money in, just like an insurance, and say benevolent fund, and we will put it in a bank account. We will not abuse it for anyone else. And then when somebody has a need, like Diane needed her teeth fixed, I can say, we have the money, go to the dentist. I believe right now that Henry prayed for her, we're going to get a good result for healing. So I just want to share that with you, because it is for you and for all of us. We'll be simply say, let's band together. Because if we take our dollars and put them together, we will have some money to work with. Individually, we can only do so much. Collectively, we can do a lot. With that, I'm going to get into my sermon now. And we're going to turn to 2 Kings, chapter 1. 2 Kings, chapter 1, and let me get there. Here we go. Let me begin by telling the living conditions about 800 years before Christ. They had no electricity. Matter of fact, they did not have glass. This is something that you don't think about. There were no glass available at that time. They had not learned how to make that. So the windows were covered with, sometimes it was some kind of skin, sometimes used a drapery, just open windows. And they had shutters on them. So at night they would shutter them. Open up in the daytime to get light in. But that's the window. No glass. Mirrors were brass, polished brass, where you could see the contour, but you could not see the detail. This is what Paul said. Now we see dimly, but then we're going to see face to face. There was no electricity, no running water, and so everybody had an outhouse. And they had people working that would come with buckets, clean the outhouses out every week. That's how we lived in Sweden, I had an outhouse, until 1953. And the kings, the palaces, they had better facilities. They would have a bathroom on the upper levels. They would have a shaft coming down. And they would have a toilet seat up there. They would have elaborate where they had openings so that they would air out. The king would not smell the stuff, the queen. And so they would go there, do their business. It would fall about 35 to 40 feet down to a tank that was cleaned out. That's a story now. And now we have King Ahaziah, going to the bathroom. If you read from verse number 2, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria, and was sick. And he sent messengers, said unto them, go inquire of Baal-Zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Can you see this king coming tumbling down in his shaft, and then, poof, hit the sewage at the bottom? He had ripped himself open, and he got the stuff on him, and so he got infected. In those years, they did not know about antibiotics. They didn't have hydrogen peroxide 3% that you buy in the store today. So they cleaned him up with water, but he got infected. Now, if you turn to Matthew 12:24, that's a bonus scripture here, so I don't know how fast Joshua will be here. But Matthew 12:24. Let me get to the right scripture. I wrote it down here. Matthew 24. So Matthew 12. I will give Joshua time here. 12:24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. King Ahaziah was worshiping Satan, Beelzebub. And if you have trouble, you don't want to call on a devil and say, Mr. Devil, am I going to recover from this disease or not? But that's exactly what he did. And God heard that. We're going to turn to Matthew 10. You have that in your outline. That Matthew chapter 10. If you pick it up here from verse number 10:29. I want to read verse number 28. Sorry, Joshua. Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. Sparrows were cheap in Israel. You ever seen a couple of thousand sparrows? You see this tremendous amount of birds flying in where they just come like mosquitoes. And Jesus said, now, look upon those sparrows. People said, well, that's about, you get about two for a penny. In those days, they did not have Kentucky Fried Chicken or ham, what do you call it, the big, McDonald's is one of them, but the other one I'm talking about, Burger King. But they had fried sparrows. And they had little stands where they would fry the sparrows. And you would go, you know, hold them in their legs, you know, and just munch on a fried sparrow. No French fries with it. And Jesus said, see those sparrows, you pay about a penny for that. One of them will not fall on the ground unless God wills it. Now, King Isaiah, God saw him falling down through the shaft. It was a judgment on him. And God simply said, I'm going to send my prophet. Verse 3, now back in 2 Kings. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, it is not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, of the Philistines. Now therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from that bed on which you are gone up, we shall surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are you not turned back? And he said unto him, there came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, go, turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, this is the Lord. Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you should send to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, you shall not come down from that bed which you have gone up, but shall surely die. And the king said to them, what manner of man was he that came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was a hairy man, girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And the king said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. The prophet. Now, Ahaziah remembered his dad Ahab, met Elijah several times. He remembered how Ahab was humiliated on Mount Carmel. The Baal prophet could not get the fire going on their sacrifice. Elijah came up, put water on it, and simply prayed a simple prayer, and the fire of God came down and consumed the sacrifice, the stones, the wood, even the water. And all the Baal prophet got killed. Jezebel got upset. We don't know if Ahaziah was the son of Jezebel or not. He was the son of the king, because the king had several wives. But he remembered that. And now, he's a king. Now, you don't want to go out to people and say, well, what happened to you? Well, I fell into the latrine. You know, that's not an honorable death, you know. He's laying on us sick, infected. And now the prophet said, You're going to die. He got mad. But he was stupid. He didn't remember. You don't fight God. Then the king sent to him, to Elijah, a captain of 50, a detachment of 50 soldiers and a captain. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill. Now, Elijah was not hiding. He sat on the top of a hill. They knew what he was. And he spake unto him, you man of God, the king has said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you, and even the 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Can you imagine now? 51 charcoaled bodies laying out there on the road. Smoke just coming up from them. There must have been people around in the area. And they said, wow. Just like that. 50 guys, plus the captain. Word got back to the king. When you get emotional, remember this now, you have no intelligence. Remember that. When you get emotional, you are never going to be intelligent. You're going to be stupid. So the king simply said, well, I throw another 50 guys at him. He didn't understand that God has plenty of fire. And again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said to him, O man of God, thus as the king said, come down quickly. That captain came up in his uniform, snappily said, you know, come down quickly, man. And Elijah looked down upon that guy, and he said the same thing. And Elijah answered and said to them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. And the fire of heaven came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Another 51 charcoal bodies. Smoke smoldering from them. You would think that the king would simply say, you know, this is not working out too well. I need to approach Elijah in a different way. But the king was emotional. His intelligence was gone. And all he could think about, I want to get that Elijah and I want to kill him. But you don't mess with God. Let me say something about fire. As we're coming into the time of the Antichrist, I want you to know this. We will have to live in the supernatural. The Bible said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that in those days, we will have the power to call fire from heaven that will consume soldiers or people that have the mark of the beast that are coming to do us harm. But you got to start practicing now. You got to start thinking now that you're not going to go out and call on fire right now. You cannot do that. But in your mind, you got to simply say, I believe I will have that power. I believe we can do that in those days. I believe I can walk on water. I believe I can pray and supernaturally have food happening. Yes. And the king again sent another captain of the third 50 and with the 50. Now, this guy was smart. He realized this. Can you imagine him walking down the road and he had to walk on the side seeing 102 corpses that had been cremated. And he decided this. I'm not going to tell Elijah to come down. I'm going to get up on my knees and beg for my life. And the third captain of the 50 went up and came, fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said to him, O man of God, I pray you, let my life and the life of these 50 you serve be precious in your sight. Please, don't call any more fire. I'm here. You see, the captain now was between two fires. If he would have said to the king, I'm not going, the king would have said, cut his head off. If he would come back and say, you know, Elijah's not coming, he would have said, well, you stupid guy, you can't get him to come, cut your head off. They would cut his head off. He knew this, Elijah could call fire down. So he said, have mercy on me. And the angel of the Lord sent Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. Let's go back a week now. Last week we talked about Elijah running from Jezebel. This time the angel of the Lord said, Elijah, go down with his captain. I'm protecting you. And go into the palace. Jezebel still wanted to kill him. Go into the very chamber of the king and give him the message. This is what we need, boldness. I see too many coward Christians. They melt. Oh, it's too difficult. Too many people are this and that. They melt. I shared this story before, and I'll just give it briefly to you. About 1973, I was in Stockholm, the capital of Sweden. We had a van there. Jesus saves on the front. On the back, we are following Jesus. Who do you follow? On the side, John 14:6, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. We were 16 Americans in there. And I was going to show them Stockholm. I didn't know that they were going to have a demonstration against Vietnam. Those of you born after 1975, you don't, you said, I don't remember that. No, you don't. And as I was driving in, you know, I suddenly realized that I was in the middle of a crowd. I mean, the street was full behind me, in front of me, on the side. We were in the middle of a crowd, and I could hear them scream, death to America, death to America, kill them. We looked out, and we saw those angry faces. And I thought to myself, man, what a nice spot to be in. We just delivered up 16 Americans to these guys that are saying death to America. So we began to pray. And you know what? God blinded these people. They didn't see us. And slowly I drove a van out on the side, and on the side street and left. From the middle of a crowd that was crying, screaming death. I'm sick of people that are cowards. They say, well, you know, I'm not a little bit scared for this and that, you know. There should be no fear. If you're in Christ, you should have no fear. Remember this. So they kill you. Big deal. You just went to heaven. What's your problem? So here now is Elijah walking in. Can you see him walking in? King is laying up on his bed, looking pretty sad. He has soldiers standing in the room there with their swords, spears. Here's Elijah walking in, standing for the bed, the king kind of peeking up and looking, you know, what's he going to tell me? And Elijah's not saying, oh, poor king. Listen what he said. And he said to him, thus says the Lord. I like that. Thus says the Lord, for as much as you have sent message to inquire Beelzebub, the God of Ekron, is it not because there's no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, you shall not come down off the bed on which you've gone up, but you shall surely die. Can you see Elijah standing there? You shall surely die. Soldiers all the way around. King could not do nothing. Elijah turned around, walked out. Later on, that king died and went to hell, where he is today, with Ahab, Jezebel, and the rest of his family. So he died according to the words of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned instead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. And the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are not written in the book of Chronicles, and the king of the kings of Israel. So now, he's gone. We do know that the rest of the family got killed later on. Ahab died, the blood licked his blood. Jezebel, the dogs ate most of her body. And all his sons, the family got killed, wiped out. You don't mess with God. This is our Heavenly Father we are serving. We're not serving some little guy that sits on the throne and says, oh, I don't know what to do. We're serving Almighty God. So why don't we simply say, I'm going to have some faith of God. I'm going to have faith in God from now on. I'm going to be bold. Well, let's read the rest of the story here on Elijah there. Elijah now was going to be heaven bound. And there's only two people that the Bible says this happened to. We had Enoch and Elijah. Now I was thinking myself, God, now why is it that you picked Enoch before the flood and Elijah after the flood and you brought them up alive to you with their physical bodies, their clothing? Why? I don't know. The Bible does not say. But these men had a following in common. They walked with God on the earth. They rejected idol worship. They prophesied for the Lord. They had faith, and they were bold. Both men lived in turbulent times. Enoch lived when you had a giants. You had the most evil time on earth when he lived. Elijah lived under evil kings, turbulence. And these men walked with God, prophesied, had no fear, and God took them. Let's read from Genesis 5:18. The Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 18. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. That's longer than the United States have existed. And beget sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Now, if we flip to Hebrews 11:5, we read the following. That's Hebrews chapter 11. And verse number 5. Here we go. Hebrews 11:5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had his testimony that he pleased God. He If you haven't read the book of Enoch, it's a fascinating book. If you have Christian Dynamics Course number 1, I have quite a bit of the book of Enoch in that book that we wrote. But let's look upon Elijah and what happened to him. 2 Kings, 2nd chapter. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. So God simply spoke to Elijah and said, I'm going to pick you up. He did not understand that. He said, okay, I'm going to be picked up. And Elijah said to him, unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said to him, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Elisha, last week we talked about he was called by God through Elijah. Elisha decided this. He had seen Elijah do miracles. He knew this man had an anointing. And he said, I'm not going to leave this guy. I'm not going to sit over here when he's going to be taken up into heaven. I want to see it. And I want the anointing. Listen, my friend. You want more power? You got to seek it. You want to be able to pray better? You want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? You want to be healed? You got to have a desire. You got to say, this is what I want. I'm pursuing this. So many people says, you know, I want to have a new car. And they do everything they can to pursue to get that car. I want a motorcycle. I'm going to get that thing. I want to fly. I want to go on Hawaii. I want to do this and that. We pursue it hard to get it. When it comes to our Christian faith, we are nothing. When you drove in at the church today, when you got ready for us to hear us here, did you expect something to happen? Or did you expect, okay, we're going to go to church. We're going to have a little bit of prayer. Pastor John's going to get up there, maybe get excited a little bit, you know. And after that, you know, we go home and that's it, you know, go home to have my lunch, whatever it is. Well, if that's in your mind, that's all you're going to get. But do you expect that today maybe God's going to move in your life? That today is a day that you're going to have fire fall from heaven on you and get your great anointing? Amen. When are you going to have the anointing? When are you going to expect God to do something? Next year? 10 years from now? Why not now? And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said to him, do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from your head today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. Shut up. I know that. I'm not letting him go. You're going to have a desire. You want to have victory in your personal life? You want to have victory? You might be in a court case. It might be a job situation, whatever it is. Do you want to have victory? Well, then simply begin to say, I'm going to have the victory, period. Amen. Amen. And then believe that God is going to deliver. If you're sitting down and saying, well, I hope it will work out. You know what? It's not. We don't hope. We know. We expect. Amen. And then we read, and Elijah said to him, Elisha, tarry here. I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Elisha was simply like a bulldog. He was just hanging on. He was not going to let go. He got his teeth in that thing, and he said, I'm going to have it, and I'm not going to sit by. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, Do you not know the Lord will take away your master from your head today? And he answered, yeah, I know. Hold your peace. Shut up. I know that. I'm going ahead. I'm going to be there. I'm going for the anointing. I'm going for the power. And Elijah said to him, Terah, pray you here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, if the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And the two went out. God simply now, three occasions, God could have taken up Elijah from the very beginning. Just like this. But God simply said, I'm going to give Elisha a chance. And I'm going to have Elijah walk from this city to that city to this city and then to Jordan. And I will give Elisha a chance. I will see if he pursues me. And this is exactly what God is doing to you and me today. He has put us, this time, we have trouble on the earth. We have all kinds of difficulties. Things are not going well. We are here for a purpose. Our purpose here is not to moan and groan, but to solve problems. Amen. To pray. To bring forth the word of God. And Elijah said to him, tarry here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, if the Lord lives, if your soul lives, I will not leave you. And the two went on. And 50 men and the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off. And he stood by Jordan. Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither so that the two went over on dry ground. He took off his mantle, overcoat, like a blanket to hang in. You had a little chain holding it here. He took that off, hit the waters, and the waters parted. Elisha watched that. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters. They were divided hither and thither, as that the two went over on dry ground. Are we going to be able to do that in the future? Absolutely. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We might be up in a mountain someplace in the forest. And you come up against a raging river. And we just take a shirt off, whatever it is, and say, in the name of Jesus, and we smack that water, and it would part. But if you're going to stay there and say, oh my God, this is the end of my life. Of course it's going to be the end of your life on this earth. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, Elijah said to Elijah, ask what I shall do for you. Because I've been taken away from you. And Elisha said, I pray you, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. He said, Elijah, I don't want what you have. I want it double. Are you hungry? Are you asking God to give you a double portion? And Elijah said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me, what I'm taking from you, it shall be so unto you. But if not, it shall not be so. God told him this. If he sees, will not take you. But in other words, if Elisha stay with you, how steadfast are you? How hard are you pursuing Jesus? How hard are you pushing into Jesus? And it came to pass, as he still went on and talked, to behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire had parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. How could Elisha, describe a craft coming down from heaven? He never seen a car. He never seen an airplane. He never seen a rocket. He never seen nothing but horses and chariots. He looked up there, he saw fire. Whatever he saw a craft. And he's described it, horses and a chariot. But I tell you what, the angels have crafts. In the book of Ezekiel, it talks about one of these crafts landing with wheels within wheels. And in the end times, I believe that God's holy angels are going to be using their crafts to fight the devil. Satan has UFOs, flying saucers. He has crafts that operate totally different than what we know of. Anti-gravity. They can turn on a 90-degree triangle. If you're inside of it, you not even get dizzy. They can easily go down into the ocean. That's where they're coming from. They easily come out of the water and go around. But Jesus has his angels, and they have crafts. Can you imagine now? I want you to say this. Elijah and Elisha walking together like this down the road. And suddenly, Elisha thrown on the side. Whatever sucked up Elijah, he described as a whirlwind. You remember the old thing that we had, you know, beam me up, Scotty? We got beamed up to the mothership. Well, he got beamed up all right. Notice it now. This is interesting. He did not lose his underwear. He didn't lose his shirt. He didn't lose his shoes. But Elijah went up fully clothed into that craft, except his mantle, like the blanket, that fell on the ground. Because that was a gift of God to Elijah. Can you imagine what a television evangelist would do if they would find Elijah's old mantle? They would cut it in small pieces. And they would sell it, you know, for $1,000. You can get this anointed cloth. Well, they sell holy oil, holy water, holy whatever else, piece of the cross. Satan is stupid. He's clever, stupid, dumb. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father." Can you imagine that day? Elisha was saying, "Oh, my father, glory. I saw it." He was excited. The power fell on him. My father, chariot of Israel, the horseman thereof. And he saw no more. He took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took also up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. For some reason, he ripped his clothes, rent them. Can you imagine them? A naked man walking down the road with a mantle. He came up to Jordan. Listen to this. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell upon him, from him, went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, smote the waters, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" When he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Why did he rip his clothes? Because he had not gone from his old life to a new life. It's like when you get saved, you're born again. A new creation. And this signified to Elisha that my old stuff is gone. I am now moving in a new creation. And when it's sent to the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him. They said, the spirit of Elijah is fresh in Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed himself to the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold now, there be with your servant 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray, and seek the master. Lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord have taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, you shall not send. And they urged him till he was ashamed. He said, send. He sent therefore 50 men and sought 3 days, but found him not. These prophets simply thought maybe Elisha killed Elijah. Maybe he got rid of him. Took his mantle. When you get anointed by God, there's always going to be people around you that are going to put their fingers up and say, you have an anointing? Who are you? Nah, we don't believe that. There's always going to be people that are going to put you down. You got to learn to deal with negative forces. Don't give up your anointing because people are simply saying, well, you know who you are. You live down the street here. You did this and that, you know. So what's the big deal, man? You said that God touched you? Ah, we don't believe that. Deal with the negative things. And then in verse 18, and when he would come again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? So what do I want you to take home with you today from this? Here's what I want you to take home. God is still on the throne. There is no crisis in heaven. And God has a solution to every problem you are facing. Every problem. I don't care if it's business problem, family problem, health problem, whatever it is, he has a solution. Elijah was fearless. He simply believed God. He heard God speak to him. He spoke it out. He had power to heal, power to do a lot of things. Elisha was a man, he was a farmer. As you remember, last week we talked about that. Elisha was running his plow team, farming. When Elijah came and threw his mantle on him and said, hey, you, God is calling you. A farmer. And the farmer became a man of God, a renowned prophet, a powerhouse. So it doesn't matter what vocation you have. Or if you don't have a vocation, never say, I'm just a housewife. There are not such things as just a housewife. You're a housewife, which means that you have a lot of responsibility. You have a vocation. Second to none. And then Elisha, he simply said, I'm going to pursue the anointing. I'm going to stay with Elijah until I get it. And this is what you need to do. We don't have a prophet here today like that. But we have Jesus. And Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. And all you have to do is to make a decision. I'm not going to be coward anymore. I'm going to pursue Jesus harder. And I'm going to expect miracles. That's what I want you to take home today. I want you to think about that. But you know what I'm afraid of? And I really shouldn't speak unbelief. But this is what I've seen in 40 some plus years of ministry. If I have 100 people, one person would get a hold of things. And the other 99 go back to the daily grind. You've been there? The daily grind. I challenge you. Disappoint me. Do something. And show me you want the anointing. So you listen to me now. You're not saved. And you say, you know, I want to get in on this. Here's what you need to do. I say this every Sunday. Just admit that you're a sinner. Confess to God that you have sinned. Tell him this, I'm sorry for my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he rose on the third day. I believe he paid for my sins. And I want Jesus to come into my life right now and save me. And he will. When we close here, you're going to have Charles Terrell come. And every week I mess up on the time on it. So I'm just going to say Charles Terrell is going to come. And he's going to take some scriptures, read them to you. He's going to pray with you and lead you in a very specific prayer. So you will know that today you are saved. After you've done that, call us, write us. Let me know so I can send you some stuff and pray with you. We would love to hear from you. To those of you that are saved, are you going to, when we finish here, and you see us sign off, are you going to drop to your knees, wherever you are, and say, Jesus, I want you more. I want you more. Fill me with your anointing. I don't want to be tomorrow what I was today. I want to be something different. I want the anointing that fell on Elisha. You do that, and something is going to happen in your place, wherever you are. May God bless you, and may you do that. Here's Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for this day, Lord, and for the Word of God, for the story about Elijah, Elisha. And we just thank you for our many blessings, Father. We lift up this situation with the hurricane in Florida. We ask your protection over the people that you have there, Lord, your people. We thank you for protecting them as they weather the storm. And we thank you for our many blessings, Lord. We want to lift up all our political prisoners in the United States, that they will be released from the criminal justice system. That is the justice system ran by criminals. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something? Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today. one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 12th part in the series, Israel, Past, Present, and Future, and was entitled, Playing with Fire. King Ahaziah broke through the lattice of his toilet and fell down a 40-foot shaft into feces and urine. He sought help from a demon god from the resulting infection, and God tapped Elijah to tell Ahaziah that he would die of his affliction. The king didn't appreciate the message and ordered Elijah's death. Unlike before, Elijah showed no evidence of fear, and the wicked son of Ahab was humiliated when God sent fire from heaven and torched two detachments of soldiers. Later on, God revealed to Elijah that his time on earth was rapidly coming to an end. Elisha was aware of this fact, and he was determined to get an anointing from the Lord. A chariot of fire took Elijah to heaven, and he joined a short list of people who never died.
The only thing left behind was his mantle, and Elijah used it to establish himself as Elijah's successor when he smote and parted the waters of Jordan. God wasn't done with Elijah, and he came back to earth some 880 years later as a messenger and comforter to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah made an impact with the people of Israel, and his faith in God is an example of what can happen when a man trusts the Lord. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1616. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.